Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
This is the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
Carry on and plan the sequel, because let's face it, baby, these days, you gotta have a sequel. Ah!
And welcome back to Micro Queers. It's your weekly queer horror short roundup, and I'm Joe.
And I'm Trace, and we're sorry.
Oh my god! We posted content warnings when we tweeted and posted this on Facebook, but Trace, honestly, I feel like this is the first short that I've ever wanted to tell people, just don't watch it, because it's not good.
Okay. Well, yeah. We'll have to think about if we're going to tag the creator in this.
I'm thinking no.
No, let's not do that. I think there's some really good elements here.
Yeah.
Content aside, I actually think that the big hamper for this is the editing, and it mostly centers around the drag... Is it a drag queen?
It's a trans character.
Okay. It mostly centers around the trans character, because I think that character is here for comic relief.
Yes.
But it does that thing in bad, like, that almost bad student films, where, like, okay, like, you know, you have a character says something, it cuts to the comic relief character, but it gives them, like, a full second of beat before they, like, start talking, so it... any humor that was supposed to be intended, like, is lost in this 1 second beat of editing. And y'all may be like, Trace, it's not a comedy, it's a really intense, scary story about sexual assault and body horror.
No, it is billed as a surreal horror comedy. And maybe, Sorry, I'm just going to cut you off briefly to say, so folks, we are talking about Harmful Sensations, and this is a queer horror short by director Jensen Rule Tierra.
Yes, and my big question was, yes, why is this a horror comedy? Because I didn't think any of it was funny.
Oh, you mean you don't find the transphobia funny, Trace?
It's... I don't even know what to say about this.
Let's just say it. It's fucking offensive, and it's tone deaf, and it's really bad.
So what I got from this is that... Okay, so it's kind of like a virus movie, right? Like, it's like a person's passing on this disease.
Yeah, do you want me to read the plot?
Yeah, let's do that.
Because this may, yeah, it might shed some insight into how it's been billed.
Okay.
Okay, so the plot description is, a young gay man, known only as R, addicted to sex, drinking, and nightlife, has a casual encounter and contracts a nasty, unknown venereal infection. A surreal horror comedy from director Jensen Rule Tierra, Harmful Sensation charts a descent into violence, madness, and redemption. That is the official description.
What redemption?
Dude, I don't know. Because unless redemption is cutting off your own penis and suggesting that becoming trans is
a disease,
not an identity. Yeah, it's a transmittable disease that turns you into a violent sexual assault offender.
Yeah, and then you basically, like, you pass it along.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you cut, so that's what you do, and then you just ghost people because you're, you know, a serial rapist.
Yeah.
Who drugs people. I mean,
it's
really, so yeah, basically long story short, yeah, this guy has a sexual encounter that is clearly date rape because he gets drugged and he passes out for 3 days.
Yes.
He wakes up, he gets a spiny penis and pees brown black goop,
like,
which is disgusting.
Sludgy goop, yeah.
Yeah, it's really gross. I definitely went, oh!
Yeah.
When that started happening. And basically, yeah, he tries to rape one guy in an alley who's trying to help him. He does rape a guy on a roof.
Yeah.
And then chops off his penis, and he is now transgender and doing the same thing that the guy did to him earlier in the short.
Yeah, and it should be noted that the first person, so the person who infected him was a trans man, and the line that they both repeat immediately before sexual date rape scenario is, you okay with this?
Oh, I thought it was, I hope you don't mind.
Oh, shit, maybe it is that. Still, I was kind of like, this is weird phrasing.
I mean, it's along those lines. All right, before we pick this apart, I do want to say what I did like about this.
Yeah, because there are a couple of things worth not celebrating, but noting the short doesn't look bad.
No, I think it's filmed okay. I mean, have you ever seen Tetsuo the Iron Man?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it's a, oh god, I don't know if it's Japanese or Korean. It might be Japanese. Anyway, sorry y'all, if I didn't get the exact nationality right. But basically it's about this man that slowly becomes a machine, and it's a really bizarre film, but it uses sound to great effect. Like all the metal sounds. Like basically like his girlfriend is eating on a fork, and the sound of her teeth scraping the fork is like this screeching sound that fills the screen. And it's just this assault on the senses. So for a lot of this short, I was like, I feel like this is trying to do like a queer Tetsuo type thing. I mean, obviously he's not like, well, he's becoming trans, if not sure. A metal machine. But there's a lot of, like, intense sound effects in this. Even from the opening with the full minute of a phone call.
Yeah. I did see someone comment on the YouTube comments. I've never heard a phone ring so long before it goes to voicemail.
It literally would not end. I mean, this is one of the longer shorts we've done. It's about 16 minutes long. I do think the guy that plays R is really good.
That would be Michael James Kelly.
And who is the transgender actress?
So I'm not sure if the actress herself is trans. The character is for sure trans. That is the character of Honey, played by Joelle Bea Uzuri.
So I actually didn't think that she was a very good actress. But again, I almost wonder if it's part of the directing, because the director's like, hey, by the way, you're the comedy of this film, so be funny.
Well, the problem is that she's meant to deliver all these sassy black lines, and you're just like, okay. I mean, it should be noted that the director is a person of color. He is from Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for us to say, like, oh, let's have the two white people talk about black stereotypes. But it's not a great fleshed out character, and the performance is not great.
No, it's not great. And again, the editing does this character no favors.
Right.
I do like the look of the spines on the penis. That is definitely something that I've never seen before. And
right. A little bit of splinter action, hey?
Yes. I mean, it doesn't linger on the penis. Like, it cuts away a lot. And I'm wondering if it's because maybe, because I didn't pause it to look, but I wonder if it's because maybe the effect isn't actually good if held up to scrutiny.
Well, or as the person who just wrote an article about dicks, it's also, you don't hold on a dick.
Yeah, exactly. I did think the sludgy stuff, like, there's some stuff that really works. Like, the body horror is good in this movie. It's just the reasoning behind the body horror. Yeah, it's this transphobic thing of like, oh, what if you're a gay man? You think you're taking another gay man home, but it's actually a transgender woman.
Yeah, there's some weird gay panic within the queer community. Like, what if you picked up somebody and they were actually trans? Oh my god. But then also this really disgusting transphobia where, like, again, we've talked about this idea that we are fine with queer killers, with trans killers. There's a historical precedent that's unfortunate, and part of the reason that individuals often get upset at these depictions is because we've seen it a million times, and wouldn't it be great to get more fleshed out, diverse, interesting, unique characters? With that said, if you want to do a queer killer, it's still an option. The issue here is that the Mr. Scruff character, played by Johnny Costry, only appears in a couple of scenes, doesn't have any kind of motivation or intention that we understand, and as a result just becomes this stand-in where it's almost like a joke or a payoff where you see, oh my god,
yeah,
it's a man with female parts.
Well, it's also because whenever R tells Honey, oh, yeah, she's like, oh, you mean he had a pussy?
Mm-hmm.
It's also kind of, like, homophobic, because it's like this guy is so addicted to sex. It's like, whatever, it's fine. I didn't want to have sex with her, but I did, because it was a hole that was there for the taking.
Right. I just think there's something inherently problematic with this short about suggesting, because there's a line later when R starts to change, and he calls Honey immediately before he cuts off his own penis. And there's a moralistic judgment to the short where he says, oh, you always told me that my dick was going to get me into trouble. You always said that the nightlife and the partying, and even in the description of the short, there's a judgment tone. And then he literally says to Honey, a trans character in this short, he says, is that why you chopped off your dick?
Oh, I wrote that down.
What the fuck? Like, that is not why trans people undergo gender reassignment. They do it because it's a fucking part of their identity, not because they're just like, oh, my dick got me in trouble, so I cut it off.
Yeah.
I was so mad, Trace. Like, I was so fucking mad about this short.
No, you sent this to me, and you noted the time. Listeners, Joe knows I am like, it's a short film. It needs to be short.
It needs to be under 15 minutes, preferably.
So he prepared me for the 16-minute runtime, but then he messaged me like an hour later and was like, prepare to talk about this a bit. I mean, it is sexual assault. It is transphobia. It's possible homophobia. I mean, I don't...
Mm-hmm.
Art is art, whatever. I would love to know what the point is. I mean, because, you know, last week we were talking about in Possessed, it takes a lesbian that has, like, you know, possibly borderline personality disorder and, like, oh, how does it treat the mental illness? But that short film was very much a campy comedy type thing that
right.
maybe had a weird kind of serious end to it that I didn't fully mesh with me.
Right.
This one, I don't really know what it's trying to do. Like, it can build itself as a horror comedy. I see the horror, I don't see the comedy, and I don't know what the point of this is.
Yeah, well, I think you're right that the honey character is supposed to be a witty side observer of what R is going through, which is meant to be that body horror. So a couple of things. Interject if you hear something that you want to unpack a little bit. Let me tell you a bit about Jensen Ruhl Tierra. So he lists himself as influenced by David Cronenberg, mm-hmm. Pedro Almodovar, David Lynch, Dario Argento, and Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Okay, so this sounds like a film student.
Oh, 100%. He's gone to film school. Yeah.
Like, it sounds like a film student who goes, oh, those are the most prolific directors who do weird things. I'm going to be them.
A wee bit, yes. His interests include diseases, serial killers, parasites, and plastic surgery. So you can start to see the body horror, you can see the surreal, there's a bit of nightmarish comedy in some of these people's work, a little bit of social satire. I think that's a reach for this short. Now, let me read you his message, because this was a Kickstarter project that they got funding
wow.
for.
Wow. Mm-hmm. People mm-hmm. paid money to have this made.
Well, of course they paid money to get this made. You have to pay to get a short made.
Well, no, I know, but like people like paid him, like donated yes. money to this guy for this premise of however he sold this movie.
Yeah. So here's one of the ways that he sold it. I think this film will disturb some. Some will be bothered by its very adult themes, but in the end, we want to craft a compelling visual story. Okay, sure. A movie that dares to entertain, in all caps. The subject is shocking, but the goal is not an adolescent desire for controversy. Hopefully it will inspire some fierce debate.
I mean, it will inspire debate. It will be fierce. I don't really buy that it's not intended to inspire controversy.
I 100% agree.
When was this made?
So this is from 2014.
Okay. That makes a little bit more sense. Not to say that it's okay, but no. The way that we... as a society, or honestly, even the queer community, or even the journalism, the film community looks at being trans has changed so much over the past 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Had this been made like last year, I would be like, what the fuck is this guy thinking? That it was 2014, it makes a little bit more sense as to how it got made.
This is the director that we're talking about. He co-wrote this along with a guy named Nick Marenko, and Marenko and he collaborated on a 2017 short called Kayla. I haven't been able to see it, but I did watch the trailer, and it's basically a guy who is catfished over to a girl's apartment where he is then preyed upon by her predatory gay brother.
Okay.
I feel like I'm seeing this, and I'm not going to armchair psychologize these guys, but I feel like there's some inherent self-hatred. For sure, Nick Marenko is a queer man. In his bio, it says that he writes gay erotica, short stories, erotica. Mm. I mean, I guess that doesn't make you queer, but I'm assuming that's part of his drive. There's a self-hatred here and an unwillingness to unpack or realize how problematic these depictions and these storylines are. Because they're not critical.
I mean, there are a lot of things that we could dig into. I mean, even the stereotype of the gay man who's addicted to sex, who just wants to fuck everything that moves. Which, granted, it's stereotype. I've also mm-hmm. met people like that, so I'm not saying sure. it's not something that exists.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's if you're going to do something like this, I can see, like, okay, hey, let's take the stereotypes about us, let's put them on screen, and let's, like, do something or say something about it.
Right.
Like, there could be a commentary there, but I'm not picking up a commentary with this. And if we're going to go with the trans narrative, okay, I mean, I don't know if this director is trans or not. I'm betting he's not.
I don't think so.
I mean, again, you and I have talked about how, you know, we discussed, like, oh, are we the right people to talk about trans narratives? If you're going to make this short, I think you need a trans person, like there, like, making this.
Yeah, I would be very, I mean, I'm concerned about this short just as a viewer, as a queer viewer. I find it very upsetting, very problematic, and I would be very interested to know whether any trans people were consulted. You know, I had to have a very long conversation with my husband because I was so disturbed after watching this. And one thing that we ended up coming upon was, if you can somehow, and I'm not advocating for this, but if you could somehow divorce the trans components of this story to focus on what I think the title is hinting at, which is this idea of a venereal disease that's passed among queer men who aren't as careful or who aren't being honest with themselves. Because there are lines in the short where Honey says, you need to go see a doctor, you need to get this looked at, and R never does. And you could read this as, oh, well, it's because he's infected, he's being driven by these sonic sound waves kind of thing.
I have problems with that too, but that's also, I mean, again, that's a stigma among the gay community where it's like, oh yeah, you don't get tested, which is how HIV spreads. And so exactly. Now we're going into an HIV allegory here, which I'm like, oh my god, like, you're really cramming all this into these 16 minutes, dude.
But it is interesting if you can look at it just as the VD narrative, or I guess it's VI now.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see a comment. So a lot of people were giving this short praise. Obviously, we don't know if they're queer. We don't know if they're trans. I was shocked to see how positive the reception was. This did play at a couple of different festivals even. But one of the comments on the YouTube channel said that they found the short was very topical and timely. And the comment was, we go out, we get high or get drunk, and then we catch something. We do not accept what we have, and knowing that we have it, we harm other people. We become one of these we hate. A few minutes of pleasure, in this case 3 days, can change your life forever. So I feel like if that was the intention, then maybe you can look at this as a moralizing, hey, you need to be careful, you need to be respectful of your sexual partners.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to distance yourself so much from what this short is actually delivering.
Well, I think at that point, then I can see that makes sense. But don't make the disease being trans. Like, that is right. What this short is. And so by doing that, it complicates the entire thing. I'm also not even sure how I feel about, like, okay, so he goes and has sex with people and spreads the disease, but, like, he doesn't just have sex with people. He assaults one and rapes another.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't see those two people. I'm sorry. We do see the rape victim again walking down the street dead-eyed.
Mm-hmm. Looking like a zombie of some kind, presumably off to infect others, maybe?
Maybe?
Maybe.
The rules are not 100% clear.
No.
Yeah.
It's really uncomfortable, and I say this as someone who is always accused of being a prude or a judgy person. I could not believe how poorly executed this short was, even if the desire was to spark a discussion around being sexually responsible, about the way that within the queer community we objectify and don't trust each other. You know, the way that gay men are maybe afraid of trans men and trans women. All I could think of was, it's such an easy fix to just have this guy have a gaping hole where his penis was, instead of what is clearly meant to be a vagina.
Yeah.
Like, you could have just had a mutilated genitalia and then be like, oh, it's a self-inflicted venereal infection.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I don't know.
It's real depressing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, would you watch a feature-length version of this?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I regret the fact that I spent the time. I think the conversation was worth having. I don't even like that we maybe encourage people to watch this.
Yeah, I feel the same. I mean, I think, again, going off the initial reading of, you know, like, someone who's sick and they don't want to accept it, so they give it to other people, like, that's a really cool concept and a cool idea. Mm-hmm. If you want to bring in a trans a narrative to it, okay, but then I really do feel like, yeah, you need someone who is trans, like, as at least a consultant.
At the minimum. Bare minimum, people.
Yeah, I could barely sit through this, not even just because of how offensive it was, but because it was gross. Now,
yeah.
I do appreciate that we are getting this weird penile body horror, because, yeah, that's not something we see a lot. That's something that is... honestly original, which is really fascinating considering how much men love their penises. But yeah, as it stands, I feel like this stretch to 90 minutes even would be like a miserable experience.
Absolutely. It's a hard no.
All right, well, listeners, let us know what you think. And honestly, if you disagree, if you have another viewpoint on this, I'm actually really curious about that.
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe we're wrong. I don't think we are.
Tell us if you got an alternate read out of this, or if you found other elements that were redeeming in some fashion in your eyes.
For sure. But I think we can stop there. So on that note, we can cross out harmful sensations.
Yes, and cross out microqueers.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform, or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.